My name is Aaron Ryan. And you know, there's some guy named Bill Cundiff who's supposed to be on this show, but he seems to be outside the studio at the moment. And he is unaware the show has begun. Oh, you know, I don't know what the deal is. You know, you gotta watch him every minute. And so let's see, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. And if Bill doesn't say something, I'm going to do it for him.
Oh, hi there.
Oh, look, it's Bill.
Oh, yeah, I got hung up. I was in high level meeting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm in a high-level meeting you. I gave you the bad chair just as punishment.
Yeah, okay. Well, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Go up and see them. They got everything in stock. They got a great inventory right now. You want to see tractors, implements, mowers. They even just took on the Ego brand of electric lawn care equipment, so they're going to have zero-turn mowers, riders, push mowers, weed whackers, chainsaws, everything electric. Thank you, California. So they'll have a full line of electric products here in the very near future ready for you. Go up and see them. They'll make you a great deal. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. There you go. That's the latest, greatest.
Well, nice save, Bill. We weren't sure you were going to get in here in time.
I'm a trained professional.
That's fun. So today's January 21st, 2024, and it kind of feels like it's last week, only because we almost were having like the same thing, which is sort of funny. I think Sharon was just screwing with us. She didn't answer the first time the engineer called. It's like, no, wait, it's happening again. Oh, my goodness. So, all of the prelude. Last week we talked about all this stuff. So, she is the with the Women's Liberation Front. Easy for me to say. It is acronymed WOLF. WOLF, so it's the Women's Liberation Front. I didn't even know there was a Women's Liberation Front. How bad is that? But I have to confess. She's a nonprofit and government relations expert with 2 decades of advocacy leadership experience, brings to WOLF vital community building experience and connections, currently serves as the president of the Santa Barbara United Nations Association, and served as a delegate to the UN Conference on the Status of Women and Generation Equality Forums. Sharon's the author of multiple published articles on women's rights, including an op-ed in The Independent revealing the insidious presence of human tracking in Santa Barbara. She also serves on the board of the Santa Barbara Women's Health Coalition and has been a vocal advocate for women's reproductive sovereignty. She was awarded the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office Exceptional Civilian Award in 2023 for her work with the Montecito Association in reducing gang violence, preventing human trafficking, and pioneering a model to end homelessness in the county. She holds a master's in psychology, a bachelor's degree in management and economics, and a certificate in human rights consulting from the International Institute for Human Rights. She joined WOLF as the executive director in 2023. And just to let you know how small the world is, one of her friends in Santa Barbara had property up at Copco Lake and was a lady I worked with a lot on trying to stop the dam removal. And so through those connections, she's like, hey, I have this friend. And I was like, oh, I have been dying to talk about this issue for like ever, and I never get to because no one will ever come on. And she said, well, my friend Sharon will. And then, then we had that little situation last week where she wound up in the emergency room at 11:30. Right before the show, she couldn't get in and out of the emergency room in a half an hour. I was shocked because...
Yeah, what kind of health care? What kind of health care is that?
I go to the emergency room, man, I'm in and out of there. Oh, my God, everyone knows that doesn't happen. At least it wasn't 2 o'clock in the morning, Sharon, because then you would have been in there forever. You would have still been in there. Oh, we're glad you're better. And that we were able to track you down. You and I had a long chat yesterday, too, which is usually bad because then we talk about everything and then we forget to talk about it on the radio. But anyway, it was fun chatting.
I don't think that's going to be the problem.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we got a lot of material. So I don't know where you want to start with all of this, but you can kind of fire us in whatever direction you'd like to go, because this is a very, very broad topic.
Okay, if you want to specifically talk.
Are we allowed to say broad? Is that one of your banned words? I was just thinking, because in our office, you're not allowed to say collaboration. You're not allowed to use any of the commie words.
Nice.
And I'm like, Wolf, can you say broad? Okay. Anyway.
Pretty much say whatever we want, right? So we're proud that's after women's self-sovereignty.
But, nice. You know, so, I might need to be a member now. You're kind of quiet. Can you go closer to your microphone a teensy bit?
I think so, or I could switch the microphone. Let's see if switching the microphone makes it better.
Let's see.
Does that work better?
I don't know.
That's much better.
That is better.
Okay, then.
You were small and far away.
Yeah, I won't do that far away thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so... you want to talk specifically, I think, about, and I don't think most people even know it under this term, gender ideology, right?
Wow. We have been looking for somebody to talk about the whole gender ideology. So, if you want to just launch right there, then that's good with us. Because that is just a minefield.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's so interesting the way that it's all sort of become very insidious, right? Actually, it's interesting. The story starts in the United States, then moves to the United Kingdom, and then moves back to the United States and Canada, which we now call Trinada.
Trinada.
Who are extremely upset about the situation, call it Trinada. Yeah, so I guess way back in the Obama administration days, there were some executive orders, right, that were sort of pushed through that not many people paid attention to, but basically established some inroads to allowing more sort of transgenderism. And I think it would be really instructive at this point if you trot out that definition that we played with yesterday, right, that, you know, what's being done here is a bit of word play where... For years and years and years, many of us have known that there were male and female sex, right? And we were consistent with it and good with it. Even the United Nations uses the word gender interchangeably with sex. Like when they talk about gender equality or gender inequality, they actually mean, you know, male-female sexual equality, right? That's actually what they mean.
Right.
But around the early 2010s in the Obama administration, this all started changing, and the word gender started being taken to mean something else. And that while sex was immutable, gender was not. And that you could change back and forth in your gender, and that you could feel like a woman today, you could feel like a man tomorrow, that, you know, your gender was somehow this unique, wild, distinctly distinct, you know, unique unicorn from your sex. And that you could play with your gender as much as you wanted and dress it up, dress it down, decide to be a they. Well, that started the use of pronouns. And at first, pronouns were kind of used on, forced on us in certain circles in terms of inclusivity. You know, we don't want to exclude anyone, so we all just use the proper pronouns. So, you know, a male could present to you and say, my pronouns are she, they. And you'd be like, what? You know, it's like, well, I feel like a woman today, but I'm non-binary and I'm not sure. So this started very much in universities, as you would imagine, you know, all kinds of sort of interesting places. And at first it was kind of lumped up under what had then been called the LGB, right? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, who were distinct and protected now as a class because they'd won gay marriage because of sexual orientation. It's protected in the law from being discriminated against because of sexual orientation. So someone of a transgender, as it's got to be called, got looked up under LGB who sort of didn't really get it and didn't understand why it went under them, because many of the trans, the people saying that they were transgender, men who felt like women today, they were not, you know, gay. They were actually very straight, right? So it was like, so why are you putting them with the people who weren't straight, right? And so a lot of LGB folks didn't like it, but some LGB orgs who worked themselves out of business, now we're going to shift to the UK, and Stonewall, who realized now that they've won gay marriage and they've won gay rights, really should have folded up shop and gone home. Oh, no. They found a whole new cause with a bunch of money tied to it. Push transgender. Push trans rights, trans vocabulary. Push it. And so a lot of these sort of things got inserted into the law, very much the way they did in the Obama administration's executive order, without any public debate. Without any congressional, you know, debate, nobody in Parliament debated this stuff, right? You know, just sort of got inserted into the law because these orgs were very close to elected officials, and elected officials would turn to them and say, what do I write, you know, to deal with this problem? What do I, what kind of bill should I pass, what kind of law should I pass, what should I propose in Parliament. So all of a sudden, all this language started getting inserted into law. So in the UK in the mid-2010s, there was a hell of a lot of this that got inserted, and there was something called the Gender Recognition Act that got passed, and that started the process of, if you wake up today, Aaron, and decide you're a guy, and you're in the UK, you can apply for a gender recognition certificate, and pretty much they'll get you a piece of paper, you can change your sex on your passport, you can change everything. So now in the UK, sex and gender have started to become the same thing, and are using the law very much the same way. And so that opened the door to access to bathrooms. So you can go into a woman's loo now, you know, as a man. Just say, I feel like a woman today, you know. And eventually, the UK started moving further and further away from even requiring a gender recognition certificate, and that you had to go through any paperwork, and you didn't have to go on hormones, you didn't have to do sex change operations, you didn't have to do any of that. All you had to do now is say you're transgender. So this is very interesting because back in the day, right, I would say 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, even early 2000s, most of us were familiar with transsexuals and transvestites, you know, and as you and I talked the other day, you know, transvestites are men who want to live in women's clothes, right, and sort of, you know, LARP about as women. And very often they are gay and they are in drag, right, that's very often what transvestites are. Transsexuals are people who go a step further and start doing the hormones, and they start looking at the surgeries, and it is an awful and terrible journey, I would imagine, and it really screws up the body. And there's sort of no way back once you've done it. It's really, you've altered yourself for life. But they were very, very rare, you know, extremely rare. You sort of never even saw them at first.
Yeah.
Right? They're very rare. And so what happened when transgender got introduced and it started becoming a protected class like LGB, all of a sudden, particularly amongst men, a bunch of men who like to cross-dress, and who got turned on by it are what we call autogynephiles, right? Now
they're called the what?
Autogynephile.
Okay.
Autogynephile. Yep, they get off sexually on dressing and playing at being women. They're not going to cut their penises off. They're not going to take hormones, but they get sexually turned on by this. So this used to be sort of closet fetish, right? If you like dressing in your wife, you know, stuff, nobody was supposed to know, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Now you can do this in public and you're legally protected. And in fact, if anyone misgenders you, it's a hate crime. It is completely flipped around. And most people are completely unaware unless they have that experience in public, right? Where they're told by a huge man that, I'm sorry, I'm a ma'am, right? You're like, what? You're still not a ma'am. You're a guy, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, now you're misgendering me. So, I mean, in the UK, this has gone so far south. It went so far south that they started debanking women who spoke up against it. They deplatformed them, had them Twitter before Elon Musk bought it, was famous for running women off that were yelling about this. Of course, all the feminists, a lot of the feminists raised hell about it. Other feminists supported it, which makes no sense to me, but they did, because a lot of times the money that was being given to your organization, like Planned Parenthood or GLAAD or Stonewall in the UK, you know, came with the condition of you will push trans. You will push it, that you will say things like trans women are women, and you will mean it. Okay, so what's a trans woman?
Yeah, yeah, that's the $64,000 question.
Okay, well, what do you understand them to be?
Okay.
Wait. What do most people think a trans woman is?
I always have to think about it. Okay, because it's like yes is no and no is yes. Okay, I know. How's this for cheating? Let's take a quick break.
Oh, nice.
No, it really it really is time. Yeah, I'm secretly going to look it up. No. But I have this great song, and so it's really probably, I think my answer might be my song. I might have been, like, sort of clairvoyant here when I picked the song a couple of minutes ago, and maybe that'll just clear it up for us, and we can have a little chuckle and then come back and chat with us some more. Our guest is Sharon Byrne. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
You may be wrong, but you may be right. You may be wrong, but you may be right.
You're probably wrong.
I'm probably wrong, but Bill was right.
Yeah.
Okay, so on the break we decided the answer was...
The question was, what's a trans woman? A trans woman, now I'm a knuckle dragger, but I think it's a man that dresses in women's clothes.
Or says they're a woman.
Or, yeah, and says they're a woman.
Yeah. Do we win?
But they are a man to start with. Is that what you,
right.
you're saying? A trans woman is a man to start with.
Yes.
And now identifies himself as a woman. Is that right?
Yes.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding.
See,
that
there you go.
Dude,
there
looks like a lady was right. Yes.
Yep. Now, would you be surprised to know that a third of Britons do not know that transgender women were born male?
What?
Oh, you're kidding.
No, that's silly.
No. Broke away.
What?
Well, it's the marketing campaign, right? So the marketing campaign has been so good, and I would suspect that it's also been equally good in the United States, that a great many people somehow think that when you say you're trans, you're some mythical new third species of human.
What?
Right? And so they don't know. You know, they're like, I don't know. Is it a man? Is it a woman? I don't know. You know.
We got our unicorns, and we have our trans women. What?
Yeah. And what's bad about this, and why I'm curious, you know, why we watch this very closely in my organization, right, we want to see this go to the Supreme Court, basically, although they've botched it a couple times already, is that, you know, there's a lot of compelled think that's going on here, right? A lot of compelled thought that's required. So you're supposed to call a man in a dress a woman, not just a trans woman, but a woman. You're supposed to do that. You're not supposed to misgender them, but that's just a heinous and terrible offense. And some of that's getting written into employment law, like as we speak, right? That the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission put out the proposed regulations late last year that Wolf commented on heavily, basically forcing employers to police both their employees and their customers and make sure they never misgender anyone.
So what is their definition of a trans woman?
The other side, you mean? The people that are pushing all this?
Yeah.
Oh, that are, I am, for all intents and purposes, a woman because I've said so.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
and
how did we not figure that out ourselves?
Right? And even if I still have a penis, right, I am absolutely a woman. And some young academics in particular have tried to draw Venn diagrams where they put trans women into the woman category.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no. They're men.
So what would their definition of a woman be? That seems to be a real problem.
Well, that's like Supreme Court lady, remember? She, the Supreme Court nominee,
yeah, she
couldn't
said
figure
it totally
out.
Depends.
Yeah.
Anyone who identifies one, which is why Matt Walsh went off and did his little documentary on what's a woman, right?
Yeah.
That's where that came from, this exact muddling. And notice that look at the category that's being crowded here, right? I mean, there was a stupid, stupid health minister, I've forgotten his name, in Australia, who in the middle of last year, you know, somebody, the prime minister turned to him and said, well, what the hell is a woman? And he said, well, it's a very contested subject now.
Yeah.
Contested subject.
So what would they define a man as?
Anyone who says they are one, but that's not the space that's getting crowded.
Right.
Now, look, this calls to mind a Monty Python skit, doesn't it?
Like, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Life of Brian.
In a Monty Python world, a bunch of us women would put on Groucho Marx glasses, right? And, you know, and baseball hats and run around declaring that we were men, right? So that we could get access to, I don't know, golf courses, board meeting rooms, whatever it is that women want these days, right? So, you know, it feels like, why aren't a bunch of us women going, fine, screw it, I'll just be a man, you know, and just say that I'm one, and you just have to accept that I'm one, and you dare not question it. That isn't what's happening. The crowding is happening on the other side. They're all crowding into women.
Right.
They're crowding into women's prisons. I mean, my organization, Wolf, filed a lawsuit against the state of California, Department of Corrections, right, for allowing men into women's prisons, courtesy of Senator Scott Wiener and Senate Bill 132, right, passed in 2020. They are putting men in the women's prisons, and the women, just because a man says he would like to be a woman. Now, what freaking felon do you know that's been convicted wouldn't real much prefer to serve his time in a woman's facility?
Absolutely.
Actually,
yeah.
I get letters periodically, so, yeah, that is the thing.
Yeah, and talk about a victim that can't speak up for themselves, right? No one's going to listen to prison women. A lot of times we get asked, why aren't the feminists screaming? Why aren't the women screaming? Oh, we are. It's just no one's listening. No one cares. You can't get platforms, right? It's really difficult.
But there are a ton of women in the women's movement. I guess that's always been sort of my big question. Why aren't women fighting this, like with women's sports and all that stuff? It seems like the women, in large part, are the ones who are defending all this. It's like, doesn't this seem sort of counterintuitive?
You bring up a good question. I would say a couple things. First of all, as you and I both know, women are not some homogenous whole, right? It's not like we all go off and meet in secret, discuss women's issues, and decide what we're all going to tackle.
Now you're kind of blowing the secret there, Sharon. Don't tell them that. That's part of our mystique. They think we've got a secret clubhouse, but now there's men in it, so I guess it is blown. Never mind.
That's enough.
Let the
dogs
out.
I have a very excited dog here. When I start talking really loud, you think terrible things are happening. We don't actually go off and do that, right? So we don't go off and meet in secret and decide what we're going to tackle and what we don't. So here's what does happen. A bunch of us go about our lives and have no idea, right, because we're not in a situation where we're having that interaction. Who's having the interaction? That would be lesbians. Lesbians are who's finding out about this. Why are they finding about it? Because they go on their dating app, which would be supposedly full of women, because that's what lesbians are attracted to, right? There's other women. And they find a bunch of men there LARPing around in dresses, pretending to be women.
I never thought about
that. And then you tell them, you're going to love girl penis. It's going to be great.
Wow.
Right? And then the lesbians get pressured, and they're like, no, you're supposed to accept them as women. And you don't dare question it. And the lesbians are like, but I really actually like real women. Not allowed to say that.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I'm sure real women is not part of the game.
No. So that's who started having this problem first. That's who found this first, right? It was lesbians. They started getting that. Because, see, these men are actually straight men. They're not gay. So just because they put on a dress, guess what they're still attracted to? That would be women. So they call themselves transians.
They call themselves the what?
Transian. I'm a trans lesbian, darling.
Oh, transian. Okay.
Yeah. Because what do they want? They want women. Well, if you're LARPing as a woman, to get another woman, you're going to need to go for a lesbian. Right?
Oh.
A straight woman's not going to want to have
that's
sex.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Right?
It's a very confusing place.
Who started having the problem first.
Okay.
Them and the young kids, right? The young kids who were like, oh, gosh, I'm trans because, you know, like I'm still finding who I am and I'm developing. And in some way, identifying as trans for the young people is sort of like the latest wave of piercings, tattoos, and goth, right? It's a fad. It's the problem is this one's a bit deadly. You know, if you start taking the drugs and getting, you know, bits of you amputated, you can't just undo that. You can't, like, you can let a piercing close up. You can laser off a tattoo.
Right.
You can't grow your breast back or another penis.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
No.
So, and our medical industry is fully pushing it because each trans kid is worth about $800,000 to $1 million to the medical industry and the pharmaceutical industry, so they're all down for this.
Well, while we're speaking here, I was adding something that you and I chatted with yesterday afternoon to our page for people. I had, because I did have a lesbian call me that we had spoken about yesterday, called me at the office, and she was telling me that this was way back. This has been quite a few years ago. And she said that this whole transgender thing has no place in the... There shouldn't be LGBT. It should just be LGB. Because
that's right.
Lesbians are women who like other women, and they know what women are. Men are gay. And she told me no women are gay, so that was interesting. I didn't know that. And so she said men are gay, and they're attracted to other men, and they know what men are. And bisexuals just, you know, they kind of sleep with everybody. But she said that transgender people don't fit in that thing. And then she did the same thing I did to you yesterday. I'm like, you know, look up gender in the dictionary. And it's like, what? So I posted it. And I actually just, you know, everybody knows I'm old. So I had dictionaries from the 70s. And I went home and looked because I thought, the online dictionary, they fiddled with it. But no, still meant the same thing. A grammatical category often designated as male, female, or neuter, used in the classification of nouns, pronouns, adjectives, and in some languages, verbs, that might be arbitrary or based on characteristics. It's like, so gender is different than sex, which is defined as either of two divisions designated female or male, by which organisms are classified on the basis of their reproductive organs and functions. So gender and sex are not synonymous terms, and that's what we have been led to believe, and that's what we are told to believe, and how we are told to speak about this issue, that gender and sex are the same thing, and they are not. There might be multiple genders, but there are only two sexes. And that was her advice to me. She said, that is the response every time you get pinned in on this. There might be multiple genders because it's impossible to try to sort that out, but there are only two sexes. And it's like, wow, light bulb moment. And yet...
And where all this... That's yeah. right. Where all this is getting fought out in is the law, right?
Yeah.
You know, because you can... I mean, do whatever you want. You know, if you want to dress up in women's clothes and try to see your own home, who cares,
well,
right?
Yeah, you know, that's the kind of the thing. I mean, it makes us all sound like haters, but in real life, yeah, nobody really does care. You can kind of go do what you want as long as you're not hurting anybody.
Exactly. It's where you decide that now you're in a, and you start. You introduced me as someone who has, you know, human rights consulting background. That's true. And in all of the history of human rights, including the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that the UN signed in 1948, including the Magna Carta and all the documents around human rights, we don't ever start out with human rights by saying, right, what we're going to do is take some rights from one marginalized group and hand them to another. We never do that.
Yeah.
That's not how this works. But that is exactly the way trans rights has worked. So what we will do is take rights away from women, we'll take them from lesbians, we'll take them from gays, and we'll hand them to men in dresses. We've never done this before in the history of human rights. It's not, it's crazy. It's upside down. It's backwards. It's insane. And really it feels like what we've done is say, hey, everybody that's got kink and fetish, you're legit now. Not only are you legit, no one can even criticize you in the law. You can go, you can, by law, they can't criticize you. By law, they can't force you back into the men's room. And you can take them to court.
And you can go to, when, well, I mean, I'm not going to pose it as a question because the answer is too obvious, but we never allowed people to do things like that with children. Schools, libraries, all these things. And now, in the name of acceptance or inclusiveness or playing along or whatever we're supposed to be doing, you have to let kids be part of this whole thing.
Oh, my God. The medicalization, it's scandalous. It's absolutely scandalous. And we could spend a lot of time, we probably should spend a lot of time on what's going on with children. It's absolutely disgusting. But I will tell you that the marketing and the takeover of LGB by what I call spicy straight is almost done. Mm-hmm. The next, because, you know, they added about 45,000 initials to this, right? You know, and the Two-Spirit and all this stuff. You know, you go talk to Native American tribes, the Two-Spirit stuff is BS. It's white appropriation of Native American culture. Like, it's just absolutely
what's,
BS,
what's the
right?
Two-Spirit so, thing supposed to be?
Oh, it's this
sorry,
you
it's,
know,
it's
academic a... idea, right, by pretty much white kids, that Native American cultures have always had trans people, and they called them Two-Spirit, that they weren't properly male or female, and that they were given special roles in society because they weren't properly male or female. Go ask Cherokees, you know, go visit some Indian reservations and find out how far that Two-Spirit theory goes. They usually call this white appropriation, right?
Yeah,
totally
made
culture.
Up.
Yeah, it's totally made up. It's BS, and it's justified. It's a way to justify this. They stuck questioning in there. They stuck all kind. You know, like the LGB acronym has been expanded to about 26 letters, right? Like, can't say anything else in there. But the one
and the
to
pluses
watch.
And the minuses and the
the one to watch. So again, most of these people are just spicy straight. That's all they are, or they're people who are young people in particular that really have not figured out who they are and are trying to declare themselves some kind of cool identity to identify out of being in the oppressor classes and the colonizer classes, right? Because that's bad. You know, to be an oppressor and a colonizer these days is very, 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 very bad. It'd be better to be in some oppressed minority. Well, they've declared one for you. It's called trans and non-binary. So just say that you're that. And then you're over the wall and out of being in this, you know, terrible colonizer status. But the one to watch for, the acronym that you need to watch for, is MAP. Have you heard this one yet?
MAP?
MAP.
Huh. Okay. No? Okay. What is that?
They're on certain trans sort of talk shows and news articles and what have you. There is a push now to legitimize minor attracted persons as protected class.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would be pedophiles.
Yeah, good straight old pedophiles, right? That, yeah. We know those guys, right?
Yeah.
Now a special category human being that deserves protection because they're so oppressed. And they're trying to work bestiality in there, and it's awful. It's just awful. And you kind of see it, again, if you watch what the state houses are doing across the country, you start to see how this is infiltrating. That you probably noticed there have been moves in several state houses to lower the age of consent, including in California,
right?
Scott Wiener, you know, lower the age of consent here, right? That there's moves to lower the age of consent. There's moves to weaken, you know, child porn and pedophilia, you know, punishment. Right? There's moves to do that. Who's pushing that? Who's pushing that? You got to really pay attention to that, because when I first saw minor attracted persons coming out, I was like, oh, you have to be freaking kidding me. And a lot of LGB folks have really started screaming from the rooftop. Again, no one's listening, right, you know, to them, but because they tend to, you know how this works, you move in kind of your circles that you move in.
Sure.
So you might be screaming very loudly within your own circle, but maybe a bunch of guys having a beer at the sports hall don't hear you at all, right? They've never heard of you. They're not likely to hear this. You know what I mean? You're just not moving in the same social circles.
Yeah.
This stuff gets heard. And we have siloed media these days. So if you read leftist media, this is all pro-trans all day. If you read rightist media, it's all, what the heck is this crap, right? Like, it's very siloed.
So you're saying that the MAP movement is being promoted and pushed by the trans movement?
Yeah. And again, trans is not LGB, right? Trans
right.
is spicy straight.
Right.
You know, and so what they're doing is they're trying to shove a lot of stuff up under this sort of trans umbrella and give it protected class status.
And is this where all the what do they call it, the cross-dressing shows in schools? And
the drag thing?
Is
that different? The drag thing's different, though, isn't it? They don't think
I don't
they're...
think so.
Do they think they're women, or don't they think they're just men dressing up?
They are men just dressing up, but why do you need to do that for two-year-olds?
Well, no,
right.
That aside, though,
we used to go to bars for that, Aaron. Remember that? Like, we used to actually pay to go see drag shows in bars. Remember how we used to do that?
No. Like, I never did. I told you there was some guy in a class in college that had breasts and still the gear that was really a topic of conversation because we were, you know, at 17, and it's like, is that a, can you do that? What is
She's probably the wrong person to ask about that, because she grew up 20 miles from Woodstock
50,
and didn't know it happened
50.
Until she...
I was in college.
Yeah, so,
I missed
know,
it, and I was right
very
there.
Very sheltered. I've tried to cure her.
Hey, you know what? Catholic school in Connecticut, the nuns were not really into this kind of stuff, which was really great.
Well, I'm not surprised. Back then.
Yeah, the nuns were pretty...
They'd rip your dress off in a heartbeat.
The nuns were teaching us English and stuff, and they played basketball, and they were fun. Actually, the nuns were super fun.
And there were no trans people.
I grew up in Atlanta, and I lived in Dallas for a while, and neither of those were exactly, you know, beacons of the gay community, right? Not exactly, you know, like wildly welcoming to gays. And
yeah.
We always went to drag shows at the bars. I mean, they were a hoot. You know, a bunch of girlfriends would go, my boyfriend would go, like... They were entertainment, but they were adults. Kind of like you used to have to ask the guy at the counter for the porn mag, right? Remember those days, too?
Yeah, I guess I missed that, too. I really didn't get out that much. I guess that's why...
Do you think the drag queen thing was like the kind of the front runner how all this kind of got started?
No, I think it's part of the same crowd, same movement, right?
They just found wider access.
Yeah.
And legitimacy, actually.
Normalized kink, right?
Wow.
I mean, it's kink and fetish used to be something that you sort of had to go to special districts to go visit, right?
Right. Yeah, because it was considered like not
it wasn't mainstream.
Right? Not ready for prime time, as they say.
Yeah, and you had to be of a certain age to go access them too. Remember those days? I mean, like, even if you went to the red light district in Amsterdam, right? You're not taking your toddler in. Do you know what I mean? Like,
do they have rules about that? They have age?
Or, yeah,
I thought it was kind of everything goes. No,
everything does go in Holland, but you know the Dutch are a little prim about some of this stuff, right?
Huh.
So, I mean, like, no, you don't drag children through the red light district.
Well, that's good to know.
So, It's very good to know. But you can go see shows. You can do all kinds of. I mean, this is for, you know, anywhere in New Orleans, right there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You got all that going on.
Tons of Triplex clubs in New York, you know, back in the Times Square days when it was a bit of a seedy place, right? So we used to have to go and go somewhere else to access kink and fetish, right? We used to have to do that.
And now we're just dragging it right into the elementary school and the library. We have to take a really quick break so you can examine your misspent youth. Everybody out there's like, did I do that? Yeah, you know, I don't know. I just didn't live in places that really had that kind of accent. Maybe it did. I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to make some phone calls. I've got to find out what else I missed while I was growing up. I don't know. It's terrible. I was busy. We're going to be back with our guest, Sharon Burton. This is this was worth waiting for. Because, like, last week, you know, we said, this is going to be great. So, got to tell you, so far it's been 40 minutes. We haven't lied yet. We'll be back. We've got Sharon as our hostage for the next hour, too. We've taken away her phone so she can't call 911. No emergency room trips today. We will be right back. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Who's to say I can't do everything? Well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I'll find with everyone.
Where are we going to go now that we've gone too far? I mean, honestly, all joke. Well, I guess we can still joke because I have a coworker who sends a few of us the gender of the week. And we've been doing that for, I'm going to say, 2 years. And there are still more. Week he sends us the flag, a flag and the definition of the new gender of the week. It's like, who's churning these out?
People with way too much time on their hands, right? You almost sort of miss war.
it's just crazy to me. Like, it just never ends.
No.
And I think people who were kind of, I don't know, people don't like to be, you know, most people are not haters, you know, so they see all this stuff, they're like, I don't get it, I don't want to be part of it, I don't like it. But, you know, hey, everybody has their thing, and, well, as long as you're not, you know, at my library, that's kind of where people got involved. But, I mean, most people are like, okay, do it, you know, just could you keep it to yourself? And they try not to be bad about it, but it's gotten to the point where it's like, all right, this is crazy. Now you have all the boys in girls' sports. I was an athlete all through college, and there's no way we could have had college-age men on the basketball team, and we could have still been able to compete. I remember we played Amador in the North Coast or in the sectional finals, I guess it was, when I was in high school. We went down there, and at that time, there wasn't such a thing as, you know, men dressing as women, as far as we knew. And these girls were like Russian weightlifters. It was unbelievable. They were like 6 feet tall. They pounded us. We were like a bunch of 10-year-olds. They just clubbed us like baby seals and sent us back home. It was brutal. And I'm like, they were girls, I think. But now you could have boys doing that. Like that, how do we get out of that?
Oh, that to me is one of the most heinous. Again, you know, you were asking earlier, why doesn't everybody scream about this?
Yeah.
Why doesn't everybody know? Okay, so it's you know, reminds of a line from The Princess Bride, right? It's to the pain.
To the pain.
Where's the pain, right?
Yeah.
So where are you experiencing, who's experiencing it and where do they experience it? Well, we just talked about women's prisons, right? That when you put men in women's prisons behind bars, again, who's going to listen to a bunch of women behind bars screaming, right? No one. No one cares. You know, I do, obviously, but, you know, the average American is not sitting around wondering, what's going on with those women behind bars anyway, right? Like, to go check on that, right? Nobody does. So, you know, it's very hard for that group of women to raise their voices and go, hey, this is unfair, we're getting raped in here. And when I've spoken to people about it, including my former state senator, you know, her answer was, well, the guards have always been doing that. Excuses.
Oh, okay, well, that makes it all okay.
Right? Excuses nothing,
what?
Right? And it's so, I think that, you know, that sort of, that's terrible. Where's the next pain? The girls in sports and women's sports. Yes, that's who found it next. All of a sudden they show up in the locker room and, hey, there's a 6-foot guy in there who says his name is Gina, you know, and he's decided he's going to undress in front of you and then he's going to be watching you and he's going to compete with you, against you, right? That all of this is now legit and legal not because any laws got passed, by the way. Sports organizations, right, got a tons of pressure.
Yeah, and started allowing it.
Yeah, and they were like, okay, we got to let them in, we got to let them play. And I think they thought this was some numerical species of third human, right? And so they, you know, let them in. Again, you don't see this, right? You don't see a bunch of women queuing up, you know, with their hair shorn, going, I can't wait to get into that male boxing ring, right? I can't wait to get onto that male hockey team. I can't wait to get onto the male football team. Why? Because they're going to get their butt creamed, right? Like, my dad is a rugby player. He'd tell you right out, you know, any bloke playing against a woman is going to slaughter her on the field.
Well,
like,
yeah, and now that, you know, speaking of that, there was an article here just the other day about a trans woman in boxing and was just cleaning up. And it's like, why is that? That is so insane to put a man in a boxing ring with a woman. What do they think is going to happen?
I think, first of all, you've got to start getting control of the language. Do not say the word trans woman. There is no such thing.
Absolutely.
You see how they've made you, like, you have to, like, it will hurt your brain to think about this. You have to sit there and go, a trans woman is actually a man in a dress that says he's a woman. So what they're trying to do is make you make the jump to that's a woman. You see?
Right.
No, you have to go the other direction, which is, I'm sorry, that's a trans-identified male. That's what that is, right? That's what we call TIMS, right? That's a trans-identified male. That is a sex faker. We're all a bunch of sex realists. That's a sex faker pretending to be a woman. Here's a story out this morning, right, that yesterday, a transgender golfer, and watch how the news media frames this, transgender golfer.
Yes.
Haley Davidson, who's a bloody great, you know, bloke, right? He's a huge bloke, right? She's won, but it's a he, has won the next women's classic at Mission and Resort and Club near Orlando, Florida. Somebody better call Governor DeSantis. Yes, somebody just, a guy just won a women's tournament, golf tournament. He's now going to join the Ladies Epson Tour after he takes one of the 5 women's spots on that tour. So it's a man taking a woman's spot, not some trans woman. There's no such thing as a trans woman. It's a myth. It's a lie. It's a unicorn. It's a man who's pretending to be a woman and who is taking women's spots.
And I got to tell you, I've seen the pictures, and he looks like a man. And I mean, you take one look at him, and it's like, dude, you're a man in a woman's skirt. It's
and as little as 10 years ago, wouldn't men have pounded a guy like that for doing that?
Well, that's kind of the thing that, you know, you wouldn't even think about doing something like that because...
Yeah, it wouldn't be healthy.
Well, back to our high school youth where I missed all the things that apparently you'd learned about. Even Bill, actually, you all learned about that. But even then, I mean, you wouldn't... You know, I mean, you wouldn't wear girls' gym clothes. You wouldn't do any of those things. So what self-respecting guy wants to be in the girls' locker room? Well,
and what other self-respecting guys stand there and say nothing about that, right? Like, one of the groups that we're seeing get angry about this is parents, right? Parents are getting pissed about it, rightfully so. You would hope that the sports-loving dads watching their little, you know, princesses have to compete against some, you know, towering blokes that's going to pummel them would start speaking up and screaming. Now, you do get yelled at for this. You know, it's wrong think. Remember that. It's wrong think, right? But, again, look at the mental gymnastics that we just went through where it's like a transgender woman. So what are you automatically thinking? You're thinking that's a female, are you not?
Well, yeah, because it's kind of like yes means no and no means yes in this. And so a lot of it is backwards.
Yeah.
So exactly. It kind of catches me because it's like, wait, is that the backwards one or is that what it sounds like? Because.
No, so then you were also asking how come is it that some women support this? I've actually watched friends of mine.
You actually did the what?
Well, I've watched friends of mine, female friends of mine, hurt their brains trying to make this make sense. They've like, you can watch them. Literally, you can see, like, the gear wheels smashing in there, right? I'm like, I can't make this work, right? But they've sort of tried to do it because they've been told that if you're not being inclusive, you're a bigot.
Right.
And if you're a bigot, then you get exiled to social Siberia. Nobody wants to have anything to do with you, right? See how this works?
Yeah, see, and it's only, it's those evil right-wing, evangelical, conservative... add the rest of it on there. They just hate it because they're Bible thumpers. And it's like, well, no. Actually, there should be a lot more people, like people who are parents. Anybody who's ever, any girl who has ever competed in sports knows they can't compete with boys. So all of that Title IX thing and the fact that, you know, we were, at 60, whatever I am, I forget again, two or three, 60-something, that was just, we were kind of at the front end of being able to have our own practice time, being able to utilize the different fields, like for track and stuff like that, because the boys' team always got precedent. It was all about them. And then they started to have to kind of be fair about it. But we weren't the draw, right? Football was the draw. That was how the school made money. And so we were sort of relegated to the, you know, like I laugh at college, you know, like the bus we took was like this school bus that I think they used on, the Flying Nun, right? That old school bus they drove around. it was like that one. Because the boys had like this really big, nice bus. So, there were a lot of things, obviously we weren't harmed and I'm not damaged and I'm not in therapy for that, but there were inequities at that time that hadn't caught up with girl sports and boy sports both have meaning. And now, my gosh, I'm not even eligible for Social Security and that's all been thrown out the window? How did that happen? It's not a very long time period.
No, it's very quick. It's very, very fast. And I would tell you that the women in the UK have fought this extremely hard. In fact, we're all called TERFs. Have you heard that term?
We're all called the what?
TERFs.
No? How do you spell it?
You haven't heard this term?
No.
You have never heard it?
No, I don't think. How do you spell it?
TERF. It's a slur. Oh. Much like Karen is a slur, right?
Okay.
And it stands for trans exclusionary radical feminist.
Oh, wow.
Trans exclusionary feminist. Oh, we're TERFs.
Yeah.
I was thinking serfs. I guess that's different. That's what the government sees as.
Yeah. So trans exclusionary radical feminist is one of those academic made-up terms, right? And, you know, I got hit with it a few times on Twitter. I'm like, what the hell is that? So radical feminists are the one feminist group that absolutely does not ascribe to this transgender crap. They're like, no, this is all BS. This is a new patriarchy, guys. This is men in dresses finding other ways to oppress women just by being them, right?
Yeah, right.
There's no better way to take over than be them.
Yeah, they had to develop a whole new class just for you. You're out there raising Cain, and now look.
All right, we got to go.
Right?
We'll be right back. We're going to talk to Sharon next hour. There's like so much. I got to go look up TERFs. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Body. Then they go, what shall we do?
second half of We the People Radio. Or shall I call it acronyms you didn't know existed that probably describe you? I'm going to rename the show.
And if they don't, we'll make new ones up.
Well, somebody's making new ones up right now. We're like, I can't even type fast enough. Oh, my gosh. So let's see. Back to the beginning. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name's Bill Kundefuss.
In case you want to stalk us or support us or whatever.
Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, just north of Redding. Go up and see them if you're looking for a new tractor or mower or implements, or you need work on your tractor or ag equipment. They can do it all up there. They're also the new Ego lawn care dealer. Everything electric. They got riders. They got all the handheld equipment. They're not set up yet, but it's coming. It should be set up in the next week or two, but look for that big change up there. But you can go up and see them, or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226, or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
There you go. Okay. Well, I have never in 13 years had to update so much stuff on the website during the show. For real. I'm like looking all this stuff up. So I've got the minor attraction. Let's go back. I got, all right. So I started with the article that you and I spoke about yesterday, Sharon. It's a great article, and I really hope you can get Jennifer Bilek to come on with us, because I would really, really like to go through that with her. Her research was amazing on who's behind the transgender ideology. And this was back in February of 2018. It's an article that was in the Federalist, and it's listed in our discussion items from today's show. Anyway, it's amazing, and you really ought to read it. It seems like 2018, a lot's happened. I guarantee you 99% of the people out there don't know who is behind all of this and what's driving it. It blew my mind, and I've tried for all these years to try to get her on here. And then, not to miss the point of all this, gender and sex are not the same.
Yep.
They are just not the same. Gender is a category that morphs over time and has for many, many years. Female used to be mom, wears a dress, stays at home, doesn't work, that kind of thing. And then mom, you know, wore pants, went to work, did some stuff. So gender has changed over time. And because we kind of lean toward the Puritan thing, having sex on forms, male or female, where it said sex, they took the dirty word sex off the forms and called it gender. And then over time, sex and gender became the same thing. Nobody, including me, looked it up in the dictionary, and we all thought gender and sex were the same thing. But gender is not biology. Sex is. So when they come at you with the multiple genders, there's like 7,000 genders, and I'm a this or that or the other thing, the answer is, okay, but there are still only two sexes. The end. The end. And there's no argument with that. And I've had so much fun with that over the last few years. I wish I knew that lady's name who called me. It was brilliant. And I'm like, you, because she told us. She goes, you're fighting. You right-wingers, you're fighting this all wrong. And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, you're arguing with them about the genders. The gender isn't sex. And I was like, what? Yeah, look it up.
Oh, yeah, this, and like many amazing things, women. Many things, women. The parties all fall down on their knees on this stuff. They just fall. It's very vexing. You know.
Well, nobody wants to be demonized, and I guess I've never. You know, it's kind of fun. Like I've never. Now I'm turf. I was reading about the turf thing, so I'm kind of laughing because your last thing. Well. Okay, so not to skip the minor attracted persons, if you haven't heard of that. The Open Map Community, this is from their own website, is a safe, inclusive, and democratic space for minor attracted persons to discuss their sexuality, rights, and experiences. Oh, I bet that section's something. Learn about the map definition, community guidelines. I'm sure there are no guidelines. Blog policy and how to join or donate. Like, what the heck? So apparently pedophiles now have their own website, and they call it a thing that sounds like, you know.
It's legitimate.
Well, like, it's like a travel agency. It's the map community. So, you know, yeah. And then TERF, T-E-R-F, is the acronym for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminists. Bill, you didn't know.
I did not know.
Bill's a TERF. Huh?
Yeah.
You're a TERF. You're both radical feminists.
We're both radical feminists now. I was like, well, how did that happen?
You both become radical rad femmes, for short. You become
rad femmes? Is that what it's called? Okay.
For rad femmes, yeah, because we do not accept that men can ever be women. We don't. We never will. We'll never identify them as women. We'll never allow them as women. And we'll not allow them to take our rights as women. So rad femmes do not believe that people can change sex. And they do not believe that men can be women, no matter how many hormones they take, surgeries they have, or dresses they put on.
Yeah, because, you know, it's interesting. I always was kind of curious about that. I was like, well, where are the feminists in this whole thing? And then, well, then there, and here you are. But what's where's the divide, like, in the world of feminists that actually are activist, like, you know, or...
Well, let's talk about one. Let's talk about one. Let's talk about Planned Parenthood, right?
Oh, yeah,
let's talk about
those guys.
Okay, so Planned Parenthood, for years, has been the backstop feminist org that you must be a member of as a woman, that you need to vote Democrat because you need to protect your right to, you know, sovereignty over your own body and not be forced to have a baby if you don't want to have one. And so tons of us have been members of Planned Parenthood, donated to Planned Parenthood, and suddenly started receiving mailers that said, hey, we really need you to donate because pregnant people need care. Pregnant people.
You're like, wait.
Which people would those be that get pregnant exactly? And, you know, and then they started sending things like people who menstruate. But which people would those be? Exactly. That,
really?
Like,
you really can't say it, can you?
Nope. The word woman got stripped out. And so I know the Planned Parenthood head here, and I'm in Santa Barbara, California, so I went to her, and I said, hey, what is this? You know, like, this language is dehumanizing. What are you doing? You know, what? And she looked at me with this huge, glassy-eyed stare and said, oh, no, my staff and I, we all believe it. We want to be inclusive, and there are some people. Okay, so this is, where, how did we get to this place? Well, because some men will show up at Planned Parenthood, you know, claiming to have period symptoms and all sorts of things and, you know, want appropriate care. You don't dare tell them that they're men, darlings. But at the same time, some girls who have decided to opt out of womanhood, because apparently it looks like crap when you're young, you know, it's sort of rape culture, you know, dick pics on social media's intro. It's sort of really, really toxic now for the young women coming up to become women. So they're having to brush off and becoming they. And when they become theys and they suddenly get pregnant and they've decided to identify as men, then it's offensive to call them men. So now we say that some men can get pregnant, which is absolute bollocks.
Because they're still women.
They're childbearing persons.
Women. Yeah.
So I poked into this. I poked into it. Why did Planned Parenthood walk away from, you know, what, is there no more money in abortion rights? I mean, just because Roe's over now, it's like, are you done? You going to close up shopping? No, they're now the biggest distributor of puberty blockers given to adolescents in the country. Turns out there's huge money in giving out puberty blockers to kids. Now, can I ask both of you, did you think puberty was optional for you? Did you think at some point when you were like...
I didn't even know what puberty was. I went to Catholic school.
Okay, but you know, like...
We didn't even know that. We didn't have the pink movie or the blue movie until public school.
It's not optional. Let me help you.
No, it's not an optional event. It's an event.
I mean, you might not have enjoyed it, right? None of us, I don't think, really enjoyed it, but... No one told me, hey, come over and step into this line and I'll give you some pills and you won't have to go through that. You can stay adolescent forever. Did you ever?
Well, the funny part is when you're a kid that age, you don't even know that it is puberty because everybody that you hang out with is having it at the same time. So as far as you know,
everybody's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all awkward together, right?
Yes.
It's just a collective moment.
It isn't Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. I mean, you're not going there for a birthday party. I mean, it's just a wow. So
yeah, it's all awkward together. So what they do now is they give you these drugs, and one of the drugs is called Lupron, right? And Lupron is a chemical castration drug.
Oh.
And it will slow you down. Now, it will also turn your bones into osteoarthritis by the time you're 20.
Oh.
Like, there's a reason you need to go through puberty, but there's this theory, this butchery, Frankenstein, crazy medicine, which is, oh, your child is special. It's a unicorn. It's decided it's transgender. Let's immediately put them on puberty blockers, and then let's immediately schedule them for surgery. And everyone swears that there are no transgender surgeries happening, but I noticed that
that's
every single sick
house.
Well, yeah, because every state that decides to ban them, there's this massive bloody push by the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, a whole bunch of these orgs, right?
Yeah.
That are like, oh, God, transgender care is life-saving. It's affirming.
Gender-affirming. Life-affirming care.
It's Frankensteining. It is absolute Frankensteining. It is putting your kids on hormones that they're not supposed to take, put them on puberty blockers, which there's no such thing. It's only really sexual thwarting development drugs. And then we'll schedule them for surgery. And again, when they cut their breasts off or their penises off, you're not going to be growing that out. That's not going to come back. It's not like a tattoo. We can't go get that lasered off.
Nope.
Right?
Yeah.
Or piercing.
The junk drawer is
like
not real. Well, I'm kind of curious. Okay, so I got a couple of questions here. So on the Planned Parenthood side, because Planned Parenthood has kind of morphed into the we're going to handle your sexual education without your parents, not only without their involvement, but without their consent of any kind. We don't need them. You can come here and we'll keep all your secrets. Is this part of that?
Yes, and so are the schools. Same thing with the schools. The same set of activists got to the schools. And so a lot of school boards have implemented these policies, school districts in California. This ought to make you happy, Aaron. In California, because we've had a longer runway with transgender stuff because we're early adopters, right? We do everything first,
yeah,
right? Including
yeah.
the bad
mm-hmm.
stuff, right? You know, sometimes it doesn't work out so well for us, but we at least try everything first. We've been at this a very, very long time. And because we've been at it a long time, we've had a lot more experience. And last year in California, I watched about four or five different school districts absolutely erupt into chaos over this, right? Where parents who are nice, lovely people, not right-wing nut jobs, you know, by any sense of the word, right? Very nice liberal people suddenly woke up to discover that their child is being socialized to be transgender at school and everyone's being told not to tell the parents.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
What is this?
Exactly.
You know, and there's all these bogus statistics that get out there of like, oh, trans kids are more likely to commit suicide. Would you rather have a live daughter or a dead son?
And
you know, what would you rather have, right?
What kind of an argument is that, besides effective?
Oh,
well, how do they explain that 30, 40 years ago, this was never heard of, and kids grew up and became productive citizens.
So
and,
funny, we
and,
talked about that yesterday.
You know,
it's like, do you remember this?
And
yeah,
now all of a sudden it's this huge thing.
They?
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand that. I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't know anybody, and I don't know anybody that knew anybody that had these kind of issues.
I'm going to channel the other side. It's because they were all repressed and fearful and repressed and fearful. Those are the only two I got.
So after they got over being repressed and fearful, they grew up to be productive.
Suddenly there were tons of them because now they weren't afraid anymore.
Yeah.
Is that the answer?
Yeah, that is it.
Yes.
Again, I'm getting better at this. Did we know strange kids in school? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did. Did we know kids that were having some developmental issues and, you know, or behavioral issues, and they were all put in special ed, which special ed was like where some really smart and hyper kids kind of went to die, right? Did we know that? Yes. Did we know kids that probably were homosexual and absolutely terrified to admit it to anyone? They might have been it to a peer. Right, that they felt safe with, but knew they weren't going to tell the parents, and knew they weren't going to tell anybody else, and it was just not safe, right, for them
right.
to be that way.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, we did know those people. Did we know people that woke up and decided that, hey, I'm a girl, but, you know, today I feel like a boy?
No.
No.
They weren't, and they weren't repressed because I don't know about y'all, but I'm a Gen X, and I grew up in the 80s where we all had punk haircuts, and the men wore makeup and high heels, and David Bowie was an absolute freaking icon, right? And none of us were under any illusion, right? Annie Lennox dressed like a guy, right? And was very masculine presenting, right? None of us were under any illusions that these were men or women, right? We knew what they were. They were gender bending like crazy, playing with norms, I guess is what you call it, right? They were playing with norms.
Yeah, you look at most of the bands from that time, you know, the weird outfits they wore and all that stuff. And, nobody thought that they were secretly women or secretly men or that they would want to trade that. They might act like... You're right. We have seen this for a long time. It just wasn't...
We were good with it.
It wasn't something that we had to, you know, quote, believe. That's the thing is you must believe, you must support, and you must shut up. And when you get to shut up, I think that's where everybody's head explodes. We have to take a really quick break, and then we'll come right back. Our guest is Sharon Byrne. She is the executive director of WOLF, the Women's Liberation Front, just in case I forgot to say that at the beginning, which I did. You can find all of this, including the commercial-free archive, because you'll probably need to send this to some people later at wethepeopleradio.us. Ruh-roh. That was Billy Joel, The Stranger, by the way, which is a great song.
Well, we all have a face that we hide away forever, and we take them out and show ourselves when everyone has gone. Some are satin, some are steel, some are silk and some are leather. They're the faces of the stranger, but we love to try them on.
I used to sleep at the foot of Old Glory and awake in the dawn's early light. But much to my surprise, when I opened my eyes, I was a victim of the Great Compromise.
Yeah, the Great Compromise. And that's kind of where the feminists have gone with all of this. I mean, it's not working for them, but... I don't know.
The biggest trick that was played on feminism, right, was to tell us that we need to be intersectional, and that meant centering men in our feminism, and that is just the biggest...
Wait, say that again. Wait, what is that? Let's go back. What is that?
Okay, so there was a big trick pulled on feminism about 15 years ago, which was we have to be intersectional.
What does that mean?
And that means that we have to take into account color, and we have to take into account, you know, people's experiences and people of different sexualities and all that. And what that basically was a message to women of, yet again, could you put yourself second and everyone else first? That's been a trick that's been pulled on feminists since the first women started getting up and agitating for the right to vote, right? Can you put everybody else first? And it's like, no, absolutely bloody not. But yes, you two are radical feminists, and radical feminists are the only ones left standing that say, no, I'm sorry, don't accept men in dresses as women. You can't make me. I won't do it, and I won't be given my rights to them. And no, they can't use my bathroom and play on the court team and tell me that they're a woman and have all the same rights. But no, absolutely not.
And it really isn't going the other way. You really don't pretending to be men and because people would, you know, I mean, I was channeling the opposition in my mind. So I can hear people say, well, there are women trying to be men and they're taking over men's spaces, but that just isn't happening. Functionally, that's not taking place.
I think we ought to pull a Monty Python stunt, right? Like in the opening of The Life of Brian, right? All those, this is hilarious, right? A bunch of Monty Python actors who are actually men, and they are playing women who are dressed up in men's gear so that they can go to the stoning. Do you remember that scene?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And somebody looks around and goes, are there any women here? And all the men pretending to be women, pretending to be men, go, oh, no women here. Right? So it's that one comes to mind to me in terms of, like, I think all of us as women, like, in order to get everyone else's attention, because, like I say, rad femmes have been screaming about this for the last 15 years, but no one listens to rad femmes. I mean, you know, you guys don't wake up on Sunday morning and go, let me just go pick up some rad femme journals and see what they're saying. No one does that, right? No one does that. So, you know, that's the problem. Is can you get a megaphone loud enough? I think the women in the UK have put together a hella coalition of lesbian academicians, feminists, and just everyday women who've gotten thoroughly disgusted and pissed off, and they go every Sunday to a place called Speaker's Corner in various cities, but mostly in London, and they do an event called Let Women Speak. And basically what happens is when they do that, they invite women to get up at the microphone and speak, and they are usually surrounded by a bunch of men, and those men are very often either in dresses and makeup, or they are wearing all black and balaclavas. Does this sound familiar to you?
Huh.
Do you recognize them?
Yeah.
Seen them before? Yeah. And those men shove the women, try to beat them up, try to drown them out, try to shut them down. And it's taken the Metropolitan Police in London quite some time to get their act together and realize that this is actually very, very dangerous, right? Because at first when they, you know, sort of look the other way because like, oh, trans rights, you don't dare speak up against that, you don't dare police against it. Now they're starting to realize, no, these men are on here to bloody some women. So the woman who started all that, which is Kelly J. King, took that tour around the world last year and went to Melbourne, where terrible things happened, and she also went to New Zealand, where she was almost killed. Almost killed. And I think at that point, a lot of women around the world started waking up, certainly across the Anglosphere. So Australia, New Zealand, United States, Canada. Okay. We all started waking up and started talking to each other across Twitter and X, right, and collaborating and starting to organize, right, starting to push back. But, my God, you can't get a media story that favors you. I mean, I was part of throwing a press conference for women's sports in Roanoke College last September when the Roanoke College women's swim team in Virginia was like, they're going to put a guy on the team. The college made the decision to put a guy on the team over these women's objectives. And so they had a press conference, and we helped them pull it together with several other women's orgs like Independent Women's Voices and Women's Declaration International, and we all did a press conference. And the local media there carried the story correctly, which was, you know, the women's swim team was upset. They're going to have to share a locker room with a guy who's pretending to be a girl, and that it was a mediocre male swimmer. And now he wants to be on the women's swim team, kind of like another one we know of, Leah Thomas, Will Thomas, who became Leah Thomas, so that they can break records and claim trophies that would otherwise
yes.
go to girls.
Yeah, right? Because they're not good right. enough to compete in men's sports.
But that's a really good point, because the media covers Leah Thomas and
a lot.
You know, those type of stories. But, you know, it's funny, they don't cover the stories where there's trans rapes in women's prisons or pedophile attacks in women's bathrooms by trans. They don't cover those stories, but they cover...
So the UK papers were.
Yeah.
The UK papers were covering those. Now, and sometimes the American papers do too, but it's the framing. So we all know that that's a man in a woman's prison. And sometimes what we have learned is that the men who identify themselves as women in order to get in women's prison are usually the most violent sexual offenders of all.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so they're put in there with the women's prisons. When something terrible happens, the news story that runs by the politically correct state-sponsored media these days, I guess, I don't know. In Canada, it is state-sponsored, but here, you know, I don't know what the issue is.
Oh,
the story that runs is... transgender prisoner accused, you know, by fellow prisoner of rape. She declares that her sheeness is not the problem.
Yeah. What the hell is that?
I mean, it's, right? Work makes you free, right? Bad
yeah.
is good, right? I mean, it's like everything is in the upside down, right? So when
mm-hmm.
we run these stories in the U.S., it's like, a bunch of women swimmers are bigots because they don't want to accept this poor little trans woman on their team. Mm.
Right,
you know how
that
gets right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
okay.
They're all horrible haters. But honestly, yeah, this stuff a long time ago was part of our comedy. We should play for people that little minute of Life of Brian, just because this was, what, early 70s?
70s, yeah.
Early 70s.
And, too, right? 82 is Life of Brian.
When?
Life of Brian, I think, came out in 82.
All right, well, look. All right, so here's the clip we've been talking about in case, and I put it on the website.
Purely through like ours must reflect such a divergence of interest within its power base.
Agreed. Francis? Yeah, I think Judith's point of view is very valid, Rach. Provided the movement never forgets that it is the inalienable right of every man
or woman
to rid himself
or herself.
Agreed. Thank you, brother.
Or sister.
Where was I?
I think you finished.
Oh, right.
Furthermore, it is the birthright of every man
or woman.
Why don't you shut up about women, Stan? You're putting us off.
Women have a perfect right to play a part in our movement, Reg.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
But why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies!
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right to have babies, brother. Sister, sorry. What's the point?
What?
What's the point of fighting for his right to have babies when he can't have babies? It is symbolic of our struggle against oppression.
Symbolic of his struggle against reality.
My name is Lulu.
Yeah. 1979 British film called The Life of Brian with the Monty Python guys. And
so ahead of its time. You could never get away with that today. That would be...
But it is. All the lingo is there. It's really weird. It's like a playbook, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't oppress me. And that's...
And yet it's meant to be funny, right? It's meant to be screamingly funny. And did you catch... The two key catches in there is it's his right as a man to be a woman. Did you catch that?
Right
as a man. Babies, because he wants them. And so the other guy finally, you know, Judith sort of navigates them, you know, to where it needs to be, and they said, fine, we shall fight the oppressor by saying that it's his right to want to have babies, even though he can't possibly, right? So, and that is exactly where we are.
That's exactly what happened.
It's his right to be a woman. Yep, it's his right to be a woman, even though he can't be, but he has the right to be a woman, and therefore he can enter your locker room, your bathroom, your, and again, it's not been as big a deal in the U.S. The U.S. is a much bigger country. But in the U.K., a lot of women started encountering men in dresses jacking off in the bathrooms, and they're like, okay, this is completely wrong. This isn't about protecting some poor little lost creature, you know, that was born in the wrong body. This is men's kink. And, you know, they're just getting off on it in the bathroom at women's expenses, and any woman who says something about it is a bigot.
Yeah, it's the hater.
Who could design a better men's right movement than this? It's the most brilliant men's right movement I've ever seen.
Well, the woman who called me and told me that, you know, there might be a lot of genders, but there's only two sexes, she said, she goes, this is the return of the patriarchy, and this is how they're going to do it. And I was like,
the new patriarchy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the new patriarchy. They're even talking about artificial wombs, transplanting wombs into men, and then having babies put in wombs outside the female body and born that way. I mean, yeah, it's an absolute eraser of women. It's a disempowering of them and an eraser of them.
That and the other thing that we didn't really mention that is part of that article and very much part of this, and we've talked about it on other shows, this is the transhumanist dream.
Yep.
You know, let's take people apart and put them back together in a way that we think using technology and, like a fake womb, stuff like that. We can improve on the human, you know, let's reinvent them. So here are the clinics. Here are the drugs. Here are the surgeries. Imagine the money. Just zillions of dollars that will be spent to do all of this and make all of this, you know, little dream of theirs come true while they experiment on people. And so these kids with the puberty blockers, to go back to that, there's enough science on the osteoporosis, you know, the outcome of the bone weakness. What kind of lifespan are these people going to have?
Oh, God, it's going to be awful. And again, you know, okay, we also talked about something else, which I think we should share with your listening audience, right? That the same reason that the medical industry wants to prey on young kids that are a bit confused about who they are at the moment is the same reason that the Army recruits men at 18, right? Because they don't know they can die. They have no sense of mortality, and it's because their brains haven't finished forming. Human brain does not really finish forming until 25. Believe it or not, it does not. And so the final stage of human brain development is actually intense socialization. That is what builds the neurons for those final stages of development. So the young people are absolutely compelled to socialize and are insanely driven by the need for social acceptance, right? It's just like the worst thing to not be socially acceptable. So when you first declare yourself as trans because, you know, you're a bit confused and, you know, trying to figure out who you are and sort out your identity and all that, you get love bombed like crazy. Oh, it's the best thing ever. Wonderful. Now, the minute you decide at sort of 24 that this was actually a horrible mistake and you've got to go and undo it, if you're a woman, your voice drops permanently. You screwed up your skeletal system forever. You're probably never going to have babies. If you cut your breasts off, they're not going to grow back, right? You really butchered yourself something horrible. And even after, like, departing testosterone after 5 years, some of these women will never go back to what they were before they started this whole trans nightmare, right? At the moment they decide that they are going to detrans, is what we call a detransition, they are instantly turned on, burned at the stake as witches, reviled, and exiled to social Siberia. And, of course, insurance pays for none of the detrans process, even though it pays happily for the transition stuff. Now, that, in the United States, is where I think big progress could be made. If you could scare the crap out of the insurance companies and say, look at what you're doing. You're funding the Frankensteining and butchering of children, and you will get your pants sued off you. And they stop paying for this. I think a lot of demand goes away overnight.
Sure. Well, and just, okay, so let's say you do, like, you know, you're out there and you tuned into this and wondered what the heck, but you know, you're listening and thinking, well, I don't care about this. This doesn't affect me. I don't know anybody. I'm not gonna know anybody. You're gonna pay for it. We're all going to pay for it because none of these things are a one and done. You don't take puberty blockers and then, like, antibiotics and then go on with your life. Like, you're on drugs forever.
Forever. And you screwed yourself up, right? A young man that cuts off his penis to pretend to be a woman, he's not going to grow that back.
No.
Right?
And there are multiple surgeries. This also isn't a one and done with that. The surgeries go on and on and on and on. And then, you know, you've got the plastic surgery. So now we've got the Adam's apple situation. And we've got the facial hair situation. And now our hands are too big. And
think about the parent that got pressured into this, right? That was like told by the doctor, your kid's going to die. You know, your kid's going to kill itself, right?
If you don't let him become somebody else. Right.
Yeah. So, you know what? When I was 12, Aaron.
You did the what?
Lucy. When I was 12.
Yeah.
My name was Lucy. I was born a Lucy, and I decided at 12 that the world was not ready for that girl. I don't know why, but I just couldn't fit in. I couldn't find a peer group. I wasn't really happy. I was just miserable. And I came home, and I changed my name to my middle name, which is Sharon. And my parents were like, you're going to what? I was like, yep, you will call me Sharon from now on. And it was really difficult, and everybody hated it, and it caused a lot of problems in the family, but they dealt with it. I just changed my freaking name, right? This is very common with kids. Kids try on identity, right? Kids try different things. They try different ways to get social acceptance. But we don't immediately, you know, thank God my parents didn't go, you know, I think you might be a boy. Let's take you to the doctor and get your stuff off, right? Thank God. But today they would. Right? Today they would. Today they'd be told, oh, I think your kid's trans. You better go get them. You better get them, you know, in there right now and get all this stuff done to them. Because, and any parent that's gone down that path after all that horrible pressure, man, they're going to, you know how this is, right? Psychologically, you got to then double down. You can't look yourself in the eye and go, man, if I would have just stopped here for a second and questioned all this.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, you see it all the time. People say, well, you know, my kid thinks he's Superman, but I don't throw him off a building to see if he can fly.
Exactly.
It's, you know, there are a lot of examples of that. Oh, my gosh, it's time to take another break. Darn it. All right, our guest is Sharon Byrne from the Women's Liberation Front, and this has gone way too fast, but there's always more. All right, you're listening to We the People, and you can find us at
The People Radio.
We the People Radio.
.us.
There you go.
Ow! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're
everything a big bad wolf could want.
Listen to me,
Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think
funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams on which I'm dying are the best I ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world.
Mad. Yes, mad world indeed. So Sharon, we did have somebody who called in who wanted to know how to get a hold of you. So what's the best way to reach out to your organization and to get in touch with you?
Oh, easy is fine, right? So womensliberationfront.org, all one word, and there's definitely a contact us link, right, and a get informed link, and I will see those emails, so please do, right? I'd love to be able to talk to as many people as possible, and, you know, we are a feminist org. I want to be very, very clear about that, but we are a feminist org with kind of a wide lens, right? We absolutely hate the gender ideology stuff. But we're not really thrilled with porn culture, human trafficking, rape culture, any of that stuff, right? So there's a whole lot of things we'd like to fix, right, for women and girls, you know, going forward. This is just but one arm of that fight, but it's a big one. The gender ideology stuff is really, really bad in terms of the erasure of women. It's really bad.
It is really bad. I just who would have ever thought? I guess if you live long enough, things do go backwards. But that was so that. Finding rights for women and girls with sports and work and all of those different things was so hard fought for such a long time. Who would have thought in 30 years, 40 years, all of a sudden we would, like, the people who fought for it would kind of abandon it at the same time and support the dismantling?
I think that's difficult. You know, you've mentioned Jennifer Bilek's work, and I'm a huge fan of hers, and she had written extensively about this. Like, how did this get underway? Well, like many things in America, hugely funded, right? And, you know, the Pritzkers put a ton of money into it, the Hyatt family, right? They own the Hyatt hotels, and, you know, they're sort of got a $15 billion net worth. You know, Jennifer Pritzker is a former man, now living as a woman, and, you know, the other Pritzker is governor of Illinois presently, and they put huge money into this. And when they put money into it, what they do is give it to these boards that, you know, used to be for women's rights, used to be for gay and lesbian rights, and they've turned them in this direction, right, and made them believe that trans rights is everything. And then those orgs call up their legislators and call up legislators with whom they are paid to lobby, right? ACLU is in the tank for this, too, by the way. They're in the same. We fight the ACLU all the time. You know, that they're in the tank for this as well. So that's who's pushing this agenda. And it's a shocker for those of us that used to be Planned Parenthood members and once upon a time thought the ACLU did great things. We're in that upside down, right, where, you know, bad is good and
yeah,
is freedom and all of, you know, right? So it's like, we're just in this really big upside down.
Well,
so,
there you can't say that, you know, well, I fit into this tidy box because, honestly, well, now that Bill's become a radical feminist, you know, all bets are off.
Yeah, you don't fit. Yeah, this is one of those issues. We find this a lot with women's issues in particular. We find an interesting group gets to the table that, you know, just politically, who ends up at Wolf's door? It tends to be a lot of progressive women who are extremely upset that their party is just carrying the water for this, right? And you can't even have conversations about this without being told that you're a transphobe. Okay, who the heck is a transphobe? No one, right? Like, okay, I'm an arachnophobe. If I see a spider, I'm going to go climb the walls. But if I saw a trans guy in the street, I'd be like, whatever. You know, like, you're not afraid of anything, right? Like,
yeah,
know, that implies that, you know, you're so afraid of these people.
Yes, I mean, we have to go get rid of all our queen records. You know?
No, absolutely not, right? And again, you know, there was no doubt Freddie was the guy, right? Like, we're all pretty clear Freddie was a guy, are we not?
Yeah, Bill and I were talking about that. It's like, okay, Freddie Mercury was a guy, but he wore eyeshadow and had, you know, I mean, he was very, there were a lot of feminine characteristics about him, but there was no confusion about whether he was a man or a woman when you got right down to it. Now, was he a stereotypical man? I mean, was he going to be a lumberjack? Probably not. Although, you know what? What were they? The YMCA guys? There was a policeman, a fireman.
Yeah.
He could be a lumberjack.
The village people.
Yeah, the village people. Yeah, he could be a lumberjack. But there was a lot. I don't think people really. I mean, yes, there's always people who have problems with that. But I think most people were pretty okay. I mean, we got over it a while ago because it wasn't going away. But to say that you have to accept that men can now be women, or you hate gay people or lesbians, that makes you hate everybody who's not heterosexual. That's not fair. And that's kind of what gets in your face.
That is exactly what gets in your face. And there are a lot of groups out there, especially on Twitter X, right, where you'll see a lot of LGB groups, and they are proudly trying to divorce themselves as rapidly as possible
from the T's.
Yep, they are trying very, and they've been very clear about it. They're like, those are spicy straight. They're not us. You know, like, please don't confuse us. Like, all we want to do is just live our lives in peace and be able to get married. That's not us, right? Those people are whack jobs, and they are, you know, like, they do feel like these people are mentally unhinged. You know, my daughter works in a sex shop, right? She's a really cool cat. I love her. She's such a hip, cool person. And she had a couple friends, and they were married, and they decided to play at being trans. So the wife was going to suddenly declare herself a guy, and the guy was going to declare himself a girl. So the wife shows up one day, and my daughter's working, you know, and she's in a bikini with a mustache drawn on her face. And my daughter's looking at her kind of funny, like, what are you doing? And the girlfriend goes, no one gets my gender, and I'm just so pissed. Like, I know, I just... And at that point, my daughter lost all empathy for any of this crap. Right? Because she just knew right then. She's like, they're just spicy straight. They're just playing. This isn't real. They're not...
Yeah.
They're not confused about who they are. You know, they're just playing, right?
But we've dragged children into it. And once you do that, and then, you know, you and I were talking about Walt Heyer. I'll add that interview to the long list of things for today's show. We interviewed him years ago, and he was a man that way back in the day, when this very first started, became a woman, thinking that his life would be better. Turned out he was molested by his uncle. He was dressed as a little girl by his grandmother when he was a toddler, and just kind of grew up with a screwed up view of who he was and how his sexuality worked, and then realized after 6 years and some psychiatric help that he needed a psychiatrist. He is very open about that. You need a psychiatrist if you think you are the wrong sex, and you better find out if there is some underlying thing before you make changes you can't reverse. And man, the trans community hates him.
Yes, they do. They do. And again, you've got to look at who's the money that's pushing them.
Well, he blows their whole narrative because he really did it. They can't say, you know, you're some conservative activist who is, you know, hung up on, you know, whatever. No, he actually was there. He went the whole route and became a man again. Switched back and became a man and said, wait, I'm actually a man. I'm not a woman. I just needed some mental health assistance. And that could have solved my problem a long time ago without blowing up my world.
Right? I mean, you know, and again, we talked a little bit about this too, in his particular case, as a child, he had been hit with a dress, in a dress, right? He was forced to put on a dress. He was beaten while he was in that dress, and he was sexually molested at the same time.
Yep.
And you can rewire the brain when you do stuff like that. And he had to go work through all that, right? As part of this whole, you know, trying to live as a woman in a dress, right? And realizing that it was all about a bit of perverted sexuality for him that had been put on him as a kid. I mean, he had to go do a lot of work, right, to get through the other side of how did, you know, because I think normal men don't just wake up one day and go, I think I need to put on a dress now. I don't think that You know, just like normal women don't wake up one day and go, I think I'm going to go have my breasts off and become a bag. You just don't do that.
I don't really understand. You know, you've said the they thing a few times. I mean, we've all heard this and kind of, I mean, a lot of us have kind of joked about it. But I don't understand the they idea. Like, well, obviously, and I think it's Piers Morgan, like, went kind of crazy on somebody. Like, they is multiple people and you're one person and, you know, it's a part of speech. And actually, I really enjoyed that. But where does that...
It's the butchery of language, but it does, I will tell you that the aspect of trans, other than loss of women's rights, that bothers me the most, is that I see a generation of women who are coming up, and some of them are in Hollywood even. They're very, very young, and they have decided that being a woman is a lousy freaking lot, that you get raped, and your rapist doesn't get prosecuted, that your dad can do things to you, and nobody does anything to him, and that you get, you know, solicited with dick pics, and you get all kinds of awful treatment as a young woman, you know, older girl, and you decide this is the devil, and I don't want to do it, but hey, I've got this exit door that I can take where I can become a they, and I can have my breasts off, and then nobody will do these things to me again. It's a false sense of safety, and it's opting out of womanhood. And so there's people who are like, don't you want to ban this stuff? And I said, I think I'd rather fix womanhood. Like, how do we make that an attractive proposition again, right?
But, exactly.
You know, I mean, how do we make that so that, you know, you don't dread becoming a woman because it's just such a lousy thing, right? And I think those of us that are older that walked around and I guess what is now the historic heyday of women's rights in the United States, you know, are shocked that younger women not only don't have it better, but actually would like to escape womanhood altogether because it's just that crappy. I never thought about
that.
But I
don't think... Yeah, no, that never would have crossed my mind. And I don't... I can't imagine. Well, I guess if everybody is supposed to genuflect, maybe it is better. But I was going to say, I can't imagine your life is easier as a pretend man. Because what are they? They're trans.
They're not becoming men. They're not doing that. What they're doing is declaring themselves non-binary so that you can't say that they're male or female.
Non-binary people.
They're making themselves a third species, and they're hoping to evade sexual assault bias. That's terrible.
But what about the women that identify as, like, he, him? I mean, aren't they trying
to... We've only seen a few of those, right? And typically, I find it tends to be a bit of costumery, right? You know, like... It tends to be a bit of costumery where they play at it and then they eventually go back to being women. But we just don't see that rush. And here's what we don't see. We don't see a bunch of women saying, hey, I'm a he now. Put me in the man's prison. Right?
Yeah, right. Could you imagine?
Put me in the boxing ring with a guy. Right? I'm a man now. Put me on the Dallas Cowboys football team. Right?
Right.
But we don't see that.
No.
That isn't happening.
No.
It's only the other. It's a play for mediocre males and sexually deviant males to get into women's spaces and to dominate women's sports.
Yeah, and that should be the big red flag. When you don't see the other side doing it and you only see the men doing it, then I think that kind of points to a mental health thing more than anything else.
Well, I mean, you have to send off a bunch of women out of your bathroom, are you, at the moment?
No.
Yeah, no, probably not. So, in our last 15 seconds, we want to thank you for coming on. We will probably chat with you again, I'm thinking, because this is a very loaded topic. So, let's plan on doing this again in the future.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Our guest has been Sharon Byrne. She is with the organization WOLF, the Women's Liberation Front. You can find everything at wethepeopleradio.us.